Jenny Perry in Allen County, Kentucky. Today's date is October 25th, 1985. Are you agreeable to being interviewed on tape?
Yes.
Just to make sure my records are correct, would you please spell your full name?
My first name is Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y. My last name is Perry, P-E-R-R-Y. And my maiden name was Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E.
Are you married, Jenny?
Yes, I am.
And what's your husband's name?
Jeff Perry.
And what does your husband do?
He's a dentist.
He's a dentist? Where do you live?
In Whitley City, Kentucky.
And what county is that
in? It's in McCreary County.
In McCreary County. Do you work?
I work part-time for my husband doing some bookkeeping, but that work is all pretty much done in my home. I'm able to do everything at home. At my own leisure too, so it's I basically don't work if you look at it that way.
Okay. What is your address? Just Whitley City there?
I have a post office box.
Post office box.
Post office box 247.
How long have you lived there?
Since 1977.
And where did you live before that?
Over in Eastern Kentucky. The 2 years prior to that in two different towns, outside of Hindman at a place called Mally, and prior to that, the year before that, outside of Hazard, about 30 miles outside of Hazard, at a place called Slimp.
Slimp?
Yes, S-L-E-M-P.
Were you originally from Kentucky?
No, my family is from Canada originally. I was born in Toronto and I grew up in Montreal. When I was almost 14, we moved to Kentucky, to Louisville. My father was a physician and he worked at the Kentucky Baptist Hospital in Louisville. He, at that time, did a surgical residency and we moved to Harlan to do where he did that. And during the time I was in high school and college, we were in Kentucky. After I was finished college, the rest of my family moved back to Canada. But at that time, I had met my future husband, so I stayed.
Mm-hmm. You said you went to school here in Kentucky. What mm-hmm. schools did you go to?
I went to Eastern High School in Louisville, Harlan High School in Harlan, where I graduated, and then I went to Eastern Kentucky University in Richmond, where I graduated with a degree in French and Spanish.
Okay. Now, how many children do you have?
I have two, a boy who is six and a girl who is four.
And what are their names?
Colin is my boy.
Would you spell his name?
Mm-hmm. Colin, C-O-L-I-N. His middle name is Matthew. And Zoe's name is D-O-E. Her middle name is Alexandra.
Now, what were your parents' names?
My mother was Janet. Trying to think what her maiden name was. Burns. Janet Burns Curry. My father was Edmund Viger Curry.
Okay, and how do you spell that? Your father's
name? My father's name?
Mm-hmm.
Edmund, E-D-M-U-N-D. His middle name was Viger. I believe that was a family name, V-I-G-O-R. And then, of course, the same as my maiden name, Curry.
Mm-hmm. And they both were from Canada?
Yes, my father originally came from Saskatchewan, and my mother was from Ontario.
What was your birth date?
February 2nd, 1950.
So that makes you how old?
35.
Let's talk a little bit about your quilting.
All right.
Now, where did you learn to quilt? How did you become interested?
Well, several things kind of happened around 1975. It kind of caught my interest. My sister-in-law gave me a hand-pieced grandmother's flower garden silk quilt top that she picked up at an auction or a flea market or something. She thought I might like it, and of course I loved it. I saw a crazy quilt at an auction that caught my eye, and I thought that was just really, it really appealed to me. And around that time also, a friend of mine was having a baby, so I thought, I could make a quilt, and my first quilt was a Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy applique quilt, which I used coloring book drawings as my pattern idea, and I would hate to look at that quilt now and see the stitches, but that was my first attempt, and I incorporated assorted embellishments on it, like rug yarn for the hair and real buttons on their clothes, and I stuffed the hands and faces to make them stand there a little more. But basically, I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I was just playing it by ear and hoping I was doing everything all right, because I was not a seamstress. I had never done much sewing at all in my life. My mother and sisters sewed beautifully, but I was stubborn and didn't want to learn, and as long as my mother was making my clothes, I let her do the sewing in my family. So about the time I was learning, getting interested in quilting, I also had access to a sewing machine. So I learned to sew and quilt at about the same time and realized what I'd been missing. I really enjoyed both of them. And also at that time we moved to close to Blackie. Our post office was Slim, but Blackie was a community not too far away. They had a quilting group that met. And a friend of mine told me about it, so I joined this quilting group. Everybody in the group was at least twice my age, and had been quilting for a long time, and I thought, well, these are the ladies to learn from. And in a way, I didn't learn too much about piecing a quilt, but I did the quilting stitch itself and how a quilt is put on the frame and quilted. I did get a lot of that information from them. We met every Thursday for 4 hours. We quilted. We took turns quilting each other's quilt tops. When one was done, somebody else would surely have another one that we could put on a frame and do. So I pieced a top on the machine, and they quilted it for me, and I still have that quilt. I consider it an everyday quilt because it was made out of scraps. And that's how I got started. Working with those ladies probably was where I really, when I made that move to Eastern Kentucky and was no longer working while my husband, I had been working while my husband was in school. So when he graduated from dental school and had that first job out of dental school, I was not working. I was substitute teaching, but I had plenty of time to, and no children at that time, so I thought, this is something I'm going to pursue. And I've been quilting ever since.
Now, what was the pattern? Was there a pattern that you used for this first quilt?
It was kaleidoscope, and a kind of design that I still like now, and when I look back at my first one, I see a big error in how I put it together. The darks and the lights should have been picked out more randomly than I did. I appreciate the quilt and enjoy it because those women quilted it for me, and that means a lot to me. Even though I have lost contact with those women, really, I've not been back there, and I'm sure that many of them have passed away and that sort of thing. The quilt means a lot to me because it's where I kind of got started.
Mm-hmm. So that was your start in 1975.
That was 1975-76, over that period. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Have you ever had any formal classes in quilting?
Not until the last 2 or 3 years when I joined KHQS.
KHQS?
Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society. The first time I went to Moorhead, I guess, was really the first time I took an official quilting workshop.
Since the first quilt that you made, about how many quilts would you say that you've made?
I'm not really certain. I would say about 15, possibly more than that. I've made several little pieces that you hardly call quilts. A lot of my quilts have been small. I've really only made about three large full-size type quilts. And I've never made a quilt to fit a bed. They have never worked out that way. I like to work with the design and build on it, you know, put borders around it or arrange it in a way that pleases me. And if it doesn't fit a bed, that's too bad. I don't worry about that. I'm not concerned with whether it fits a bed. So most of my quilts have been ended up on walls. And even the larger pieces are better suited to a wall than a bed because they're usually square or something that doesn't work well on a bed. But I'd say about 15 or so. There was a time there when a lot of my friends were having babies, and that was my gift, that the baby was a quilt. And they were usually picture quilts that I designed myself. I would just draw a picture on a large sheet of paper. A lot of times it was just newsprint or freezer paper or something like that, and cut that apart and use that as my pattern for the fabric and applique a design. For example, I made my own son a quilt, which was a little cat in a basket, in a hot air balloon, in the basket of the hot air balloon, flying over a mountain. And of course, it's all done in calico and that sort of thing. So it had a childlike look to it, you know, because of the fabrics I used and the type of picture that it was. They were all simple designs along that line.
Now, do you prefer to design your own quilts, or do you like any of the traditional patterns?
I kind of do a mix of both, but I tend to, even when I use a traditional pattern, draft my own, or try to use it in a different way, so that it's not like everybody else's. Probably the last thing I will do is take a pattern exactly as it is and follow it to the letter, so that I can reproduce a quilt exactly like somebody else's. I'm not inclined to do that. I'd rather do something to make it my own.
Mm-hmm. Do you prefer piecing to applique?
Well, I've done a fair amount of both. I kind of go back and forth. For a while there, I'll be doing a lot of applique, and then a piece design will appeal to me, you know. And sometimes I combine both of them on one quilt. I like to do that. And so sometimes it's hard to say whether I've got a piece quilt or an applique quilt, because it might combine a little bit of both. But I'm about even on the two techniques as far as what I prefer.
Yeah, when you do your hand or your piecing, do you piece on the machine or by hand?
I do both. There was a time when I like to choose patterns that could be done on the machine, nice straight seams, that sort of thing. Now I find I'm moving more toward hand piecing and finding I enjoy it more. I used to think, oh, hand piecing takes so long. You could piece a quilt so much faster on the machine. But now I appreciate hand piecing for how relaxing it is and how you can travel and take it with you. And basically you can get more quilts made if you're willing to hand piece, if you use that, the extra time that you have waiting at the doctor's office, that sort of thing, you can, in time, have another quilt that you wouldn't otherwise have if you had to rely on your sewing machine. So I do both. And sometimes I combine both techniques on one quilt. There are times when a long, straight seam could be done so quickly on the machine, and it would be kind of foolish to piece it by hand. But something that's a little intricate might be better pieced by hand because it won't lay flat, or it fits together better if you piece it. You've got a little more control over what you're doing when you're hand piecing. So some patterns definitely lend themselves to hand piecing more than machine piecing.
When you applique, what type of a stitch do you use?
I don't know what it's called. I just do it, and it's just a stitch where I pick up the the edge of what I'm appliquing as tiny a stitch as I can. My stitches do show slightly, but I'm not sure what you call this technique, but it's what I think probably most people who are appliquing do. I am aware that there are stitches you can do that it can be hidden, but I find them so frustrating to do. I feel that as long as you're doing neat, even stitches when you're appliquing, and making them as tiny as you possibly can, that will suffice. Technique is not necessarily my strong point. I feel like I have, my interest in quilting is more with design and use of fabric, and a little less with technique. My quilting stitches, I look at other people's stitches and marvel at them. I feel like I will never have the stitches that some people have for quilting, or even the piecing technique.
What do you think makes a good quilting stitch?
I appreciate really seeing a really tiny, even stitch and seeing it look as good on one side of the quilt as the other. My stitches tend to not look so fantastic on the back and bet much better on the top. I've improved my quilting stitch over the years with lots of practice, of course, but I guess small, even stitches that look as good on one side as the other, what I would like to be able to do, but I don't see myself ever getting that to that point. I'm not sure what it takes to create those stitches, but I don't seem to have it.
Not yet.
But I'm satisfied with my quilting that I will show my quilts, that sort of thing. I'm not ashamed of my quilting stitches, but I do feel like my strong point in making quilts is more with design, use of color and fabric than with the technique itself.
You're talking about color. Do you have any particular colors that you like? What are your favorites?
Well, I go through phases. Right now I do seem to be in sort of a rose period where when I shop for fabric and look for fabric, I go straight toward rose and pinks, and not pink, but usually are more of a dusty rose sort of shade. And prints that fall into that category. But I'm open to any color, really, but right now that seems to be what I'm going toward. I also tend to use black in most of my quilts. I think black is dramatic, and most traditional quilts in particular don't use it, and so a black quilt stands out to me. And that's why I like to use black. Some of the old quilts that are done with white bleached muslin don't appeal to me because they're just overall too light and pastel looking, and they don't catch my eye in quite the way something with dark. I tend toward darker colors, I guess, in general, over the lights and pastels. And if I'm going to use a light color instead of white, I will always go with muslin, the off-white shade.
You mentioned before showing your quilts. Where have you shown your quilts? Have you entered any in a fair or a contest?
Well, for the past three, maybe even 4 years, I'm not sure, I've entered the McCreary Fest, which is an annual county fair-like event, which is in our county every October. I've also entered 2 years at Oak Ridge, the Smoky Mountain Quilters have a show every year held at the Museum of Science and Energy down there.
That's in
Oak Ridge, Tennessee. I've won on anything I have entered in a show, I've always won on. I won't say grand prize or anything like that, but it's an honorable mention at least. So I feel good about entering shows. I haven't been knocked out of feeling. Let's see how shall I express this. I haven't, felt defeated when I've entered a quilt show, so it's encouraged me to go on and enter others, and I'd like to enter more.
Have you entered anything in the Kentucky State Fair?
No, I never have.
The contest the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society has?
I entered a Japanese lantern quilt, what the name of it is. I entered that for the, what was the year of that contest?
1984.
1984, and I won a blue ribbon for that quilt, and I also won a Judge's Choice Award for that quilt.
This was the Japanese lantern. Do you like the Japanese designs?
I'm fascinated by them, and I seem to be concentrating on them right now. When I first made that quilt, what caused me to make that quilt, I think, or what happened to in the evolving of that quilt, I bought some fabric at a store in Whitley City, not even a big fancy fabric store in a large town or anything. It was a fabric printed with little Japanese ladies holding fans. And the print just was fascinating to me. It was also 100% cotton and the perfect weight for quilting. So I immediately bought 4 yards of it, not knowing what I'd do with it, but I just had to have that fabric. And I took it home, and I knew I wanted a pattern that would be appropriate for that fabric. And I flipped through one of my books and came across a pattern called Japanese Lantern. It's considered a traditional pattern, although I've really only seen it in the one book that I've got. I've never seen it used anywhere else. It was perfect for the print because the print had horizontal rows of these ladies crossing the fabric, and the block pattern had long horizontal pieces to it to form the lantern shape. So it was appropriate for the fabric. It just worked out perfectly. And then for the quilting designs, I use some Japanese crest designs, which are designs which the Japanese people put, usually embroider, on their kimonos and make them their family crests.
Now, where do you get these designs?
Those designs came from a book that I have ordered from Dover Publications that they put out. It's a book which was compiled by a piece goods store in Japan of all these crest designs. There are something like 4,000 of them in the book that I have. When I got that book, I was just fascinated by it and spent hours poring over it. The designs lend themselves beautifully to quilting applique, quilting designs, reverse applique. Some of them would work well with trapunto in some cases. I saw a lot of inspiration in that one book, so that's partly why I'm intrigued with Japanese design right now. That one book has really got me thinking of it a lot.
Now, are you using the designs in this book for only for quilting designs?
Well, some of them are like I say, reverse applique or applique. Really, there's quite a few possibilities for them, depending on the particular design. Most of them are modified flowers and, or stylized flowers, is what I mean to say, I guess. And things from nature, and things that you usually think of as Japanese, like fans and things of that type. Some of them lend themselves better to applique or reverse applique. Some of them are best used as a quilting design. Most of them are not so intricate that you couldn't find some use for them in quilting. They're usually simple enough lines that you can, draft them a little larger or smaller and incorporate them in some way as a design.
You mentioned this one book. Are there any other books that you particularly like, any quilting books or magazines?
Well, I subscribe to Quilter's Newsletter. Getting that magazine, seeing that magazine for the first time is what really made me get into quilting in a much grander scale than I had been. For several years there, I've been always working on a project, but never more than one at a time, and like I do now. And I was always enthusiastic about quilting, but I didn't get too excited about making a new design or looking for fabric. Then I discovered Quilter's Newsletter magazine. I guess it was in March 1983 I saw the first issue of it. And I was so fascinated by what other quilters in the country were doing. I don't know what I thought was going on out there. I was the only one around who was quilting or something, but when I saw what other people were doing and what possibilities there were with quilting, I was just amazed. And I subscribed to the magazine, sent away for back issues, and just really jumped in head first. And I've been quilting on a much bigger scale ever since that time.
You mentioned that this Japanese fabric, getting back to that you found was cotton fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Do you prefer cotton fabrics for your quilt?
If I can get cotton fabrics, that's what I prefer. I will use a blend if the print is interesting enough that then it that rules over what the fabric is made of. Print is, or the something about the fabric that appeals to me in some way is more important really to me than what the fiber content is. Cotton is really preferable, especially for applique, to keep a nice crease, that sort of thing. A lot of times the blends won't keep a nice edge when you're appliquing, and I find that frustrating.
Now, when you're putting your quilt together, do you use regular sewing thread, or do you put it together with quilting thread, like for your piecing?
For piecing, I use regular sewing thread. And I only quilt with quilting thread.
Do you tend to use any particular color quilting thread?
Oh, I like to use any color of quilting thread. When I first started quilting, that Blackie sewing group that I worked with, they always used just white quilting thread on everything they did. And when I discovered that quilting thread came in other colors, I really preferred to use it and match it up with colors in my quilt top, that sort of thing. And as I got a little better at quilting stitches, I was more willing to use a thread which contrasted with what I was quilting on. So if the stitches showed up, it was fine, you know, that I felt comfortable doing that. So I like to use a colored quilting thread, and I tend not to use white at all. If I'm going to use, again, I go with the off-white for a light color over the white.
Now, when you quilt, do you use a large frame?
I have
a hoop.
I use all of them.
All of them.
I have a large frame, which my husband just made me last year. Before that, I had a large frame, which I had ordered from Sears a long time ago, but that thing was so flimsy that I finally gave up the ghost, and my husband is getting interested in woodworking, so he made me a very nice oak quilting frame. It's up all the time in my living room, so it's nice that it does look attractive. So I always have a quilt in the big frame. Sometimes it takes me a long time to get that one done because I tend to launch myself into other smaller projects and not come back to that bigger one. But sometimes I think the quilt is there more as a decorating item for my living room than anything. But I also quilt in a hoop. I didn't do that though until my Japanese lantern quilt. What happened on that was my quilt was too big to fit into the hoop to the large frame I had at that time. So while you think of a hoop as being for small projects, in that case it had to be for a large project because it wouldn't fit in my large frame. And that was also the first time I basted a quilt. Always prior to that, since I was doing it on the big frame, I just pinned it a lot, and that was satisfactory to me to just pin. So I used the hoop with Japanese lantern, and I really like it. I've used it a lot since, again, because it's portable and you can take it with you to different parts of the house or even to somebody else's house if you go away for the weekend or something. It's easy to transport. I have a lap quilting frame too, but I've never have used that. I don't seem to ever make anything that fits it or something. I don't know. Just haven't used it yet. I'm also into buying quilting gadgets a lot, and that's sort of one of those gadgets I happened to get a good deal on one time, and I just haven't gotten around to using, I guess.
You mentioned that your husband made this frame for you. How does your family feel about your quilting?
Well, I feel fortunate because my husband is very interested in quilting. He's not likely to make quilts himself ever, but he loves to go to quilt shows.
So your husband is very interested in your quilting?
Yes. He loves to go to quilt shows with me, and he is very supportive of what I do. It doesn't bother him that I run out and buy all this fabric that it seems like I'll never get around to using. And in his dental office, he has them where the patients can see them when they're in the dental chair. He finds that they're a good conversation piece. Most everybody in a small community like ours has something to say about quilts. Either they quilt themselves, or they have a grandmother who quilted, or a mother who quilted, or have a quilt of some type on their bed, or this sort of thing. So I think it relaxes patients. He feels that it does, relaxes them to see these quilts on the wall. And it also gives me a little exposure that I don't mind having, because most of these people will never be at my home to see them. And I've also come in contact with several quilters in the area because of them seeing the quilts at his office. So.
Yeah. When you say you've come in contact with quilters in the area, do you ever get together with those quilters, or with any quilter, quilt in the group?
I never have belonged to a group except for the Blackie Sewing group. To my knowledge, there's not an organized group in my area that I could join if I wanted to. There's a lot of people just quilting independently, that sort of thing. And I really probably don't know a fraction of the quilters in the area. I've only come in contact with a few of them, but it's been fascinating to meet them and see they're interested in quilting. Most of my contact with quilters is through Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society, and I tend to have quilting friends who live in, who are scattered throughout the state more than I do in my own area.
When you get together with these friends, do you all ever do any quilting?
Sometimes. I'm not with them that much. I suppose I visit with them, and to the point where I see what they're working on, and when we share our ideas of what we've been doing, but it's not necessarily a time spent working together on anything, or quilting together on anything, or even working independently together. It's more of a visiting time where we're exchanging notes on what we've been doing.
About how much time, you know, do you say you would spend quilting? How much of your day is given to quilting?
It varies a lot. I would love to spend a lot more time than I do on it, but it just seems like it just never gets to that point. I stay pretty busy because I have two young children, and I take my little girl to a preschool in a town about 30 miles away, and I need to stay up there while she's at the school for 3 hours on the days that I take her. I try to take something with me to work on while I'm there, but I don't always have a chance to use that 3 hours only for quilting. It's usually grocery shopping, that sort of thing. A lot of times I get to the end of the day and I think, gosh, I haven't done a single thing on quilting. But I feel better really when I make a point to do it and get some quilting done. I hate it when the end of the day comes and I realize I haven't done anything. Overall, I don't spend that much time per day. It comes in spurts. During the winter, I often spend 4 hours a day. That would be probably the most I would spend on quilting. During the warmer months, when I'm likely to be running around more and outside more, I don't get nearly as much done.
Why do you feel that quilting is so important to you? I mean, why is it important to you?
Well, I guess I feel like it's something that I can do
fairly well, or at least well enough to satisfy me as being something that's done well. And I enjoy showing them to people and have them say, "Oh, that looks so nice." And it makes me feel good. And I'm sure everybody feels this way about something that they do, or needs to feel that way about something that they do. And in my case, it's quilting. I really feel comfortable with doing it. I enjoy the time I put in on it. I don't begrudge any of the time I put in on it at all. And to have people compliment you on that, it means a lot. So, I just enjoy it and feel like it's something that I have gotten better at as I've done it. And, you know, hopefully in the years ahead I'll get better. And I've also got so many ideas in my head for what I want to do, I just don't see myself ever saying, "Well, what am I going to do next?" I don't see that happening. So it's good that way. There's always something to do if you're interested in something like quilting. There's always something you can work on and create.
So you feel it's a creative process.
And my father was an artist. He was a physician, but painting was his hobby. And I always admired him for having that kind of creativity. I never had that as a painter, or, you know, I never was very good at drawing. I did all right at drawing, but I never considered myself any kind of an artist until I started doing quilting. And then I felt that something in me was able to use color effectively and to choose what was good design effectively. And so I see a little bit of my father coming through me in that way. Not as a painter, I don't think I could ever paint quite the way he did, but it's my creative outlet.
As a painter, he probably signed his paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sign your book?
I usually sign them on the back and put the year that I made them. I do it with embroidery. I just usually write my name on the back of the quilt and then trace or go over that with embroidery floss. And so it's usually signed on the back. I have a few signed on the front, but I decided that that probably detracted from the design of the quilt to have a signature on it, so I decided it was better if I put it on the back. So that's what I've been doing with all of them since then.
Do you use any embroidery?
Sometimes, but I don't feel like I'm very good at embroidery. I can do a lot of the basic stitches, and I use it sometimes to embellish something. For example, I did an appliqué iris design, and I used the embroidery to give the leaf veins, make them show up, that sort of thing. But I don't see myself ever making an embroidered quilt as such. You know, I see these quilts that are the embroidered state birds or this sort of thing. I just don't see myself getting into embroidery on that level, but a little embellishment here and there, that's what I'm inclined to do.
Do you use anything else for embellishment?
No, I'd say that's it. I admire the quilts where the artist has, you know, added porcupine quills and this sort of thing to the quilt, but I've never really done that. I would like to, I guess, in some way, but I've never quite come up with a design or the appropriate embellishment to use for the design where it would be effective.
Do you ever sell your quilts?
No, I never have, and I don't see myself selling them, really. I put too high a price on them. To feel like I could let go of my quilt, it would just, people wouldn't want to buy them at the price I would ask. So they mean too much to me, so to really let go of them. I don't think I would sell them. I don't feel good about doing it. I suppose if somebody came to me and said, "I want you to make a quilt for me," and it would be like a commission kind of thing, then it would be a little different than if I put in a lot of time on a quilt and somebody said, "I like that, how much is it? Or, you know, if I made it with the idea of for sale, you know, if you want to buy this, if somebody approached me first to make a quilt, I think I would view it a little differently. But nobody's ever done that, so.
Have you ever done any quilting for other people?
No, and again, that's something I don't think I could, would feel comfortable doing. Partly because I have so many projects in my head I want to do, and a lot of projects I'm in the middle of. I don't think I'd feel right about giving that time to somebody else's quilt, and I don't think I would do the quilting or any of the work involved in what they wanted as well as I would do on my own work when it's for myself.
Have you ever taught anybody else to quilt?
I have given some workshops here in Allen County. The last couple of nights I've given one on Mariner's Compass, and tomorrow I'll be giving one on applique. Essentially, this is my first experience with teaching as such. Sometimes when I've gotten together with people I know, I have shown them things I've done, and I believe in that way I'm teaching, but as far as an organized class, I'm just starting to get into that aspect of quilting.
How do you feel about teaching? Do you like it?
I like it a lot. I like it a lot. I feel pretty exuberant about quilting, I feel, and I like to share this love that I have for quilting with others by teaching it to. I know that not everybody will be as enthusiastic as I am about it, but it's always nice when you can see somebody do something and then follow through and do something else related to quilting because you have shown them how to do something.
Do you feel that quilting has changed any over the years?
You mean just since I've been doing it, or over a longer period of years than that?
Yeah, do you think there are any changes in quilting over the years, longer than you've been doing
mm-hmm.
it?
Well, definitely. Just the switch to the contemporary designs, which of course can't be at all like they used to be. That definite change. There's almost an anything goes aspect to quilting now, it seems like. Some of it.
Are you in favor of this?
Oh yeah. some of it I dislike. I mean, I dislike any kind of art, even when I go to an art gallery and look at paintings, there are definitely a lot of so-called classic paintings done a long time ago that have no appeal to me, and that's the same with quilts done today. Some of them I like a lot, and some of them I don't. It's true of the traditional patterns, though, too. Some of them I like a lot, some of them I'm not so crazy about. So. But I am in favor of quilters being innovative with their designs, and just doing amazing things with fabric. So I like to see something new. That's why I like Quilter's newsletter, I guess. When I get that magazine, I sit down and read it from cover to cover as soon as I get it, and I'm always fascinated by a lot of the photographs in the magazine, what people are doing.
Do you think the general public, their attitude towards quilting has changed any?
They're surely more aware of it than they used to. It's obviously something that's caught on in a fairly big way in the country. And so with the country look and this sort of thing, people have quilts in their homes more than they used to. I think people used to regard quilts not even so long ago as, you know, something you throw over your furniture on moving day or something like that. They had a more casual attitude about the quilts. They didn't regard them as works of art in any way. They were just sort of everyday kind of things that everybody had old quilts. And I know even when I was a little girl, my grandmother was a quilter. And we had Dutch doll quilts on our beds. And they got used daily until they were just too raggedy looking. And they were just thrown out. But they weren't appreciated in any way because they were handmade quilts. I mean, a Sears bedspread would have been just as good on that bed as No, I don't think my mother had an appreciation for quilts. Although her own mother had made them.
So your mother never quilted, did any quilting?
She has done some patchwork and taffy quilts, but that's only been lately when quilting has kind of gone through a renaissance. But no, she kind of was in that generation of women who just sort of regarded quilting and things made at home as being, I think she associated with growing up poor on a farm and that sort of life, and it was not a part of her being a housewife in Montreal and having access to store-bought items. And I think there's a whole kind of group of women of that time period who felt that way.
Now, what was the grandmother's name?
Her name was Elsie Murchison Burns.
Okay, and how do you spell that?
Her first name is Elsie, E-L-S-I-E, Murchison, M-U-R-C-H-I-S-O-N. And, of course, Burns, which was my mother's name.
And where was she from?
Beaverton, Ontario, in Canada. She lived on a farm.
How about your father's mother? Did she quilt?
No, she's still alive, and I'm always fascinated by the fact that she never did quilt. She sewed those clothes for herself. And growing up, they were very poor in Saskatchewan. I almost think they were too poor to have the scraps to create the quilts. She never got into sewing on that aspect of it. And I'm not sure why exactly. I don't think she ever has made any quilted items, even though she has sewn quite a bit through her life.
Do you notice any difference in the quilts that are made in Canada, you know, that may be in your family or friends' home? Is there any difference between the quilts that are made there, say in patterns and so on, than the ones that we have here?
I don't know. I'd say basically the same traditional type designs are being used in both countries. Canada and the United States don't vary that much in their everyday kind of life, I think, and the quilt patterns that are an interchange of quilt patterns, they're all the same, I think. Although I have seen books of, say, Nova Scotia quilt patterns and even Ontario quilt patterns, or at least photographs of quilts from Ontario. I know my grandmother made a lot of wool quilts, wool log cabin, that sort of thing, but you'll see wool log cabin quilts in the United States, too. I don't think there's too much difference. Now, my sister is also a quilter. She lives in Vancouver, British Columbia. She was an art major in college and focusing on fiber as her field of art, weaving in particular. And then it was after she got out of college that she got into quilting. She tends to stick with traditional patterns with scraps, weaving scraps. And again, her choice of fabrics is always very nice. And I guess that's just an artist's eye for color that's coming through for her.
Now, what is her name?
Gloria Stanley, G-L-O-R-I-A, Stanley, S-T-A-N-L-E-Y.
Do you have other brothers and sisters?
I have four sisters altogether.
And, but Gloria is the only one who quilts?
She's the only one who's made several quilts. I have another sister who has made one quilt that I can think of. She may have made others. Well, she's made two. She made one which was an applique picture of a cat in a window. And she made that after I had made a quilt, which was a cat at a window at night looking at a starry sky. Hers looks quite different from mine because she's used different fabrics and drafted and designed her own pattern. But the basic idea she got from me, but it's a totally different quilt because of the, like I say, the different fabrics and that sort of thing. She also started a cross-stitch quilt from a kit, and I think decided after a little while, the cross stitch was not for her, and ended up cutting the kit that she was doing the cross stitch on to make a baby size quilt. She was expecting a baby at this time, and she turned it into a crib quilt instead of the full size or queen size, whatever it was that it was that it was intended to be. So, but it's she did a good job of quilting it, and it was very nice.
Now, what is her name? Does she live in?
She lives in Washington State.
In Washington,
which is close to Vancouver. All of my family lives out on the west coast. She lives in Langley, Washington. Her name is Betty Smith. BETTYSMITH. Pretty easy to spell that.
Okay. Have you ever heard of any men quilting?
I don't know any personally, although there was one man in a workshop I took one. And of course I've read books by Michael James and seen Michael James on television series, and I'm aware of him as a quilt maker, and Jeff Gutchen as a quilt maker. This is through magazines and books, this sort of thing that I'm familiar with them.
Do you think there's any difference in their work?
No.
No?
No. I mean, if nobody mentioned who had made the quilt, I would not have said, well, that's got to be a man's quilt. I don't think I'd feel that way. I think you could put a label on it in that way. I think it's interesting that men become interested in quilting. I think it's something that they've surely got to fight a little, I don't know, a criticism from others about their doing it, because it is traditionally a women's field. But there are more and more men getting into it, and I don't object to that at all or see anything wrong with it. But sort of the same thing as men becoming ballet dancers, I suppose. I'm sure when they're coming up in that field, you know, they face some criticism for being involved in what is usually thought of as something a woman would do.
Okay. Is there anything that you can think of, Jenny, that you might like to add to this tape that we haven't touched on?
Well, can't really. I think I've covered it all. I can't think of anything I need to add.
If not, I want to thank you for the interview. It's really been a pleasure.
You're quite welcome.